5 times Shindo told Toya the truth. Written by Nonplussed. Read by Mr. Born Hero. A Hikaru no Go Parfic featuring the relationship Shindo Hikaru, Toya Akira. Rated for general audiences and tagged for soulmates, trope subversion, character study. Really an exploration of canon and post-canon from Toya's point of view. Conversations about Sai. Your soulmate can hear it when you lie to them. Good thing no one's lying or keeping any secrets, huh? Summary. And the one time, he was a terrible, awful, unconvincing liar. Toya Akira doesn't want to have a soulmate when he's a child. For one thing, everyone always makes a big fuss if someone finds their soulmate because it is rare and wonderful, and Toya doesn't like being fussed over. He's also not sure what's so wonderful about someone who can always hear when you are lying. His mother always knows when he lies, even without hearing some kind of a special soulmate sound. Maybe if a soulmate was someone who always wanted to play Go with you. But his father had simply smiled and said he would understand when he was older. And his mother had said that it's still only polite to greet everyone with little lies, whether he wants them to be his soulmate or not. And Ichikawa-san had said that soulmates are romantic and life-changing, and maybe he will meet his soulmate when he's least expecting it. When Toya first meets his soulmate, it is certainly unexpected and life-changing, though hardly romantic at all. But then, when he first meets Shindo Hikaru, they won't realize they are soulmates for nearly 10 years. Shindo doesn't say any politely untruthful greetings to Toya or anyone else when he first steps into the Go salon and sees Toya. He isn't lying when he declares to Toya that he's probably pretty good at Go, even though he's not sure how strong he is. And once they start playing, Toya won't notice the strange, jarring overtone that seems to ring from somewhere deeper than his ears with every clack of Shindo's ghost tones on the board. How could he have imagined someone could lie with their Go anyway? They don't greet each other with polite lies the second time they meet, either, when Toya ambushes Shindo to demand a second game. He doesn't hear anything strange when Shindo says he's never thought about becoming a pro before, except for how strange, how utterly baffling it is that Shindo could be so good at Go and know so little about it. He doesn't hear the sound of any lies when Shindo says maybe he'll become a pro just to snap up a few titles for prize money. Even though Toya's filled with indignant disbelief at hearing it. He also doesn't hear the discordant overtone to Shindo's every move during this game either, drowned out by Thunder's determination to win and by his devastation when he loses. Later, when he's dried his tears and decided that he wants to keep playing against Shindo, Shindo will prove contrary, as he so often is, and elusive. When Toya finally tracks Shindo down to his school's Go club, everything Toya says to Shindo is true, that he wishes he could be the one playing against Shindo, that no matter who he plays with, he thinks about Shindo, tries to imagine what Shindo will do, that he's becoming stronger for Shindo's sake, that he will wait for Shindo. But when Shindo replies that he won't play with Toya, Shindo isn't lying either. Even though Toya still waits at his father's Go salon every day, just in case Shindo is. They are 13 when he finally manages to play against Shindo again, after what feels like an eternity of striving that's almost a game of Go in itself, the longest and most grueling of his life thus far. And that forces him to try awkward and unfamiliar tactics out of desperation against an unreachable opponent. But Toya is nothing if not stubborn, so despite having to struggle with his own school's go club and argue with his own teacher, he wins the right to sit across from Shindo at third board at last. When they finally play, Toya dismisses that discordant, jarring overtone to Shindo's ghost tones as his own nerves, and when that overtone disappears, Toya doesn't notice for his rising disbelief, which soon turns to fury. "Stop playing around," he yells at Shindo, and Shindo will reply, entirely honest, "I'm not playing around." The rest of Shindo's got that match is also honest, and honestly dreadful. Later, Akira will ask why Hikaru didn't hear the lie in his voice when Jun-sensei forced him to thank Hikaru for the match. "I was distracted, okay? And you barely managed to spit it out anyway," Hikaru will retort. "If you want to blame someone for how long it took to discover we were soulmates, blame yourself for trouncing me so rudely. I was just a kid." "I was just a kid too," Akira will snap back. "That didn't stop you from trouncing me rudely when..." "That was Sai. I told you, you can't blame me for..." Toya almost finds out when he catches Shindo at the internet cafe. Not at first, when he asks Shindo what he's doing, and Shindo replies that he's reading manga online. That is true. And when Toya asks Shindo if he's ever played Go Online, and Shindo replies that he hasn't, that is, somehow, also true. "Sai played all our NetGo games," Hikaru will tell him, many years later, on a lazy morning, when they are both at home looking up Kifu online. Their chairs shoved so close together that Hikaru is practically in his lap. Akira will make a quiet, encouraging noise. The best way to make Hikaru comfortable enough to open up about Sai, he will have learned. "That's why I don't want to play NetGo myself," Hikaru will add softly, with a note of mingled fondness, grief, and regret that Akira will come to associate with Sai. "Too weird." Shindo laughs nervously at his questioning and replies, "Sai? What Sai? You think I'm Sai? It's 'cause I beat you before, right? Guess it's not surprising you would think I'm that good." Incensed, Toya retorts that when they played during the middle school Go tournament, Shindo's Go was nowhere near good. And that's when Shindo replies, "Ah, that match? I was playing badly on purpose, of course." And Toya almost notices something, a grating, discordant buzz between his ears, reverberating under Shindo's every word, but it is quiet, barely noticeable, the sound of a half-lie, he learned later. Hikaru had known that he would not play as well as Sai, and had done so on purpose anyway, but he hadn't intended to play badly. Toya's also too busy shouting at Shindo that that's ridiculous, that if he really were as good as Sai, why hadn't he become a pro and snapped up a few titles on the side like he had said he would? And when Shindo replies, "Thanks, I couldn't have said it better myself," that discordant buzz is gone again. Toya walks away then without noticing anything except his own bitter disappointment at Shindo, at himself. He doesn't know. And when he tells his unrecognized soulmate that he doesn't intend to appear before him ever again, he means every word. "Good thing I decided to chase you back then, huh?" Hikaru will remark, poking repeatedly at Akira's thigh with a finger, until Akira slaps it away. "Even though I wasn't as much of a creepy stalker as you were." "I was not a creepy stalker," Akira will protest, blushing with the full knowledge of how much totally reasonable stalking he had done. Which hopefully Hikaru will never find out about, even with all the soulmate powers in the world. Anyway, I told you if you kept chasing my shadow, I would catch up to you eventually, didn't I? And I was telling the truth. You were, Akira will say, resting his head lightly on Hikaru's shoulder, which is mostly barred by the lopsided, stretched-out collar of his bright yellow t-shirt. I'm glad you did. They don't speak to each other for years after that. He is old enough now that his classmates start giggling about soulmates around him and begin greeting him with a comment about the snow in the summer, about the heat in winter. He greets his fellow pros with the traditional expected lie out of obligation, more than interest, even when they are rudely honest or patronizingly blunt in return. But the one time he sees Shindu at the institute, surrounded by other insei, he turns around and walks away without a word, even though he can hear Shindu calling his name from behind him. See? Hikaru will say with an exaggerated shake of his head. If you had been polite, like I know your mom raised you to be, maybe we could have. And if you had been polite a single day in your life, Akira will say, snatching the dishwashing soap out of Hikaru's hand and swapping it for laundry detergent, and listen to your mom when she tried to teach you how to do any chores at all. No, Toya is resolved to put Shindu behind him. It is lonely and futile trying to walk the path of God by yourself, young Toya Shodan. Kuwabara-sensei says when they meet in passing, as if he can see straight through Toya's newly minted maturity to his younger self, to the 12-year-old who had felt a shining, clearly misplaced sense of connection with a boy his age who had smiled at him and asked if they could play Ka as equals. But the heart-wrenching disaster of his last match with Shindu sits like a fistful of captured stones in his gut, a mistake he knows better than to dwell on, even though he can't quite put it behind him, even if he can't quite make up for the loss as he pushes forward, as he climbs the ranks one solitary step after another, even though he can't stop keeping an eye on Shindo's own progress through the insei ranks behind him. His resolve to ignore Shindo is also stymied by how everyone around him begins to mention Shindo to him. First, Okata-san, who had apparently been the one to sponsor Shindu to become an insei, though Toya wouldn't put it past Okata-san to do strange things just to get a rise out of people. But then, Jū-sensei, who had been sympathetic but unsurprised by Shindu's poor showing as third board, makes a point of showing Toya a beautiful, hard-fought game between Shindu and a Korean insei named Soo-young. Then, Kureta-san drops Shindo's name in conversation out of the blue, and suggests Toya watch out for him, a suggestion he certainly doesn't need. Then, Ochi-kun loses to Shindu, despite everything Toya tried to teach him, even his own father requests to play Shindo for his Shin Shodan game, and Kuwabara-sensei of all people shows up to bet on Shindo to win, although Toya wouldn't put it past Kuwabara-sensei to do strange things just to get a rise out of people either. When Toya learns that he and Shindo will play against each other as pros for the first time, his heart races in anticipation and apprehension despite himself. Will he catch another glimpse of that awe-inspiring, overwhelming strength? Or will he be utterly disappointed again? He can't stop counting down the weeks, the days, thinking about Shindo's go, about Shindo, who is a tangle of impossibilities that Toya can't unravel no matter how much he tries, though it certainly wasn't helped by Ochi refusing to show him the pro-exam game. Not that he's still holding a grudge over anything so petty. Hikaru, shut up! He can't extinguish the hope that sparks inside his ribs, the hope that he will be able to understand Shindo a little more once they play each other again for real. that Toya will be able to divine the truth from their call. You did, Hikaru will say over a meandering game in their bedroom one evening. Eventually, I did the very first time I played you, Akira will retort as Hikaru considers the board between them. He'll play a hand that's reminiscent of Sai, and Akira will answer with a move that's reminiscent of his father, and it will make Hikaru smile. The most important part of it, anyway. Almost gave me a heart attack, too. What you said during our first match? Hikaru plays a hand that's all his own and rolls his eyes. And then you wouldn't stop bugging me afterwards. Akira slaps down a move that's all his own in response. And if you had just told me then, we wouldn't have had to. But they don't manage to play, because then Toya's father collapses. And when Toya's father recovers, Shindu has stopped playing Ga. It gives him an unwelcome sense of deja vu to be walking around Hayes Middle School looking for Shindu again. Everyone shoots him confused, worried looks as he walks past in his Kata school uniform. Shindo's not with his old girl club in the chemistry lab this time. One of the girls gives him an assessing look before suggesting he try the library. And it gnaws at him, makes him pause when he sees Shindo's bleached blonde hair half the room away when he enters. What is Toya doing here? Wasn't he done chasing after Shindo? Hasn't he learned anything from the first time he mustered up the courage to come all the way here to ask Shindo to play, and was refused point blank? But even though he swore all those years ago to never appear before Shindo again, he has no choice but to make a liar of himself today. He has to know. Besides, maybe Shindo's family is in some kind of trouble or other. Maybe Shindo didn't know he could apply for leave from the institute. Maybe Toya could help. Or maybe Shindo's sick. Illness can strike anyone at any time, Toya has learned, flashing back to the gut-churning ambulance ride he had taken by his father's side, and the thought of something like that happening to Shindo is nauseating enough to push him forward to demand answers from Shindo to try to dispel it. Shindo does look one, tired. But he doesn't cite illness. Instead, he simply says that he can't, won't. There's no point in someone like me playing Go, Shindo says. I'll never play again. And even unaware of their soulmate bond, Toya knows that Shindo's not just lying to put him off. Shindo means every word. I understand. Akira will whisper into Hikaru's neck, curled up in bed together one grey morning during Golden Week. I understand now. He's never said that to Hikaru before, too afraid that his soulmate will hear a lie in his words, despite his best efforts at trying. But Akira's father will have been dead for a month by then. Hikaru will hold him tighter, will say nothing in return. Eventually, Hikaru will leave the bed to phone the institute and make their excuses, then make them both breakfast, things Akira has done for him during Golden Week in the past. And after that, Hikaru will only say, just as Akira has said to him every year before, play a game with me? They'll curl up together on the same side of the gavan, and play a quiet, somber game, just like they do every May. And if this time it is Akira who will cry over his ghost stones instead, even without a soulmate bond, Hikaru could have understood. Shindo does play Ga again, thankfully. He sprints up to Toya after his Kaninbo title match qualifier to declare that he's not giving up Ga after all, that He intends to keep running towards the same path that Toya is on. And Toya believes him, despite everything. Even without knowing, there's a soulmate bond that confirms Shindo's words as truth. What more confirmation could he need, other than the fire in Shindo's eyes that matches the one burning in his own heart? What more confirmation could he need, other than Shindo turning up to every one of his subsequent matches and winning everyone, as if he's trying to prove that he's serious about catching up to Toya, about walking the same road towards the Hand of God together? What more confirmation could Toya need? That Shindo might be the person Toya has been waiting for, not his soulmate, but his rival. What more confirmation could he need than their first official match, when they have a conversation on the go board that is fiercely, unrelentingly honest? When the bell sounds for lunch, Toya releases a breath that feels like it's been held for years, and somehow the name Sai is falling from his lips. Sai, who's somehow Shindo but not, who's going somehow in Shindo's but not. Toya isn't lying, though for all he is sure he knows Shindo's best, he can't figure out how it can be true. He isn't lying either when he adds that Shindo's god today is all his own, and that it is enough. And Shindo is honest with him in return when he replies that he will tell Toya the truth someday. So they don't notice the soulmate bond then, during what Toya will come to think of as their first real conversation. They continue not to notice it, even when they begin to play regularly. It turns out that when Shindo calls Toya an idiot for playing stupid moves that only a stupidly defensive idiot would play, he means it with his whole heart. And when Toya calls Shindo a moron for playing stupid moves only a moron would fall for, he means it with his whole heart, too. They never get into the habit of lying to each other, and certainly never into the habit of greeting each other politely, or being polite with each other at all, really. In the end, it is something mundane and impolite that brings it to their attention. "What are you wearing?" Hikaru demands out of the blue one day. Akira flushes and tugs awkwardly at his brand new black shirt, tucked into his brand new pair of navy jeans. "You keep saying that I dress like a colorblind old man," he mutters, then adds more hotly, "Ashiwara-san wears clothes like this sometimes, and Izumi-san too, it's normal, so what are you complaining about now?" "It's not, I'm not..." Hikaru sputters, also blushing. "Oh, whatever. You still look stupid, like an old geezer." And Akira hears it then, an unmistakable, jarring buzz reverberating underneath Hikaru's words. "What did you say?" he asks, distracted, rubbing at one ear. "Nothing! I didn't say anything!" Hikaru yells, throwing his hands into the air, his words still echoing loud and discordant in Akira's mind. "I don't care how you look, sheesh!" Are you lying to me?" Akira asks, unable to fully believe his ears, his brain, his soul. He's not quite sure how a soulmate bond works and never cared enough to look it up. If they taught it in school, he must have missed class that day for a match. "No," Hikaru yells, obviously lying. "I think you look stupid all the time." I think you look stupid all the time, too. Akira enters slowly and feels his heart begin to race when, instead of insulting him back, Hikaru frowns and rubs at his ear, and then, because while lying to Hikaru is new, being brave and rude is not, he adds, I didn't buy this outfit thinking about you anyway. I don't care what you think about how I look. I don't care what you think about me." And then, with Hikaru staring at him with dawning realization in his eyes and a disbelieving smile on his lips, Akira takes a deep breath and says, "I don't even like you like that." "You don't..." Hikaru cuts himself off with a laugh, bright and astonished. You're lying! You... Then Hikaru gives up on words and pulls Akira close and kisses him, clumsy but honest. Ichikiwa-san was wrong, he'll think later. Hikaru is life-changing and unexpected, and it is all even a little romantic. But it is not because Hikaru is his soulmate. It's that Hikaru is the most important person in Akira's life. The person he knows best. The person he's waited for all this time. His eternal rival. The end. So, a couple of months ago, we were talking about Soulmate Eos, and I mentioned that lies show up on your soulmate's skin is a fun type of AU, because I had read it for Django, Obi-Wan, and Miles by KJ Farm, Fern, yeah. But anyway, I mentioned that one and said that it would be great for Hikago because of all the treachery that's going around, you know, Hikaru keeping Sai from everyone and all the stalking and the fun things that happen around. So, I was really happy to see it happen. Thank you for writing it nonplussed and for giving bank permission to perfect your fix. I will enjoy this one forever.